I'm Matthew.
My name is Jimmy, and I'm playing Caveman.
Here's what I know. There's already lots of relationships from back in the dark ages. There are lots of former bands. There are schoolmates. There are bartenders.
Started playing music in 2001. We had our band, and
it was a comedy band.
Yeah. We were writing songs in high school together. Started in ninth grade. Started all from a deja vu, and kind of went from there. Just writing music about what we saw. It was pretty fun.
A comedy band. You got to fill in a couple of blanks there.
Yeah, we were called Fatboy Cooley and Jim C.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I mean, we just kind of, at the time, that's the only thing we could think about writing, you know. But it was a good way to get into writing music. Because that's all we wanted to do.
A lot of funny situations in high school, as you may know. So we just kind of sang about them. And the teachers all loved them.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm sure big bucks in high school comedy bands. Major money to be made.
Yeah. We were always the headlining act at the talent shows, for sure.
Yeah.
And at the fair.
Yeah. But
Fat Possum is like way down south, and they have signed some pretty popular bands, right? So so I imagine, did they in particular approach you?
What it was just kind of a like-mindedness. We were all working really hard, and then we met those guys. Those guys came to our show in L.A., and we always heard about them, but, you know, what I really liked about them is that they're all business. You know, it's like we sat down, we met, and from kind of like the first 10 minutes, it was just like,
hey, baby, okay, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you, man.
Well, yeah, but in not a slimy way, which was really nice, because, like, I don't know, there's a lot of weird
stuff. Did you encounter some slimy ways along the way as you were trying to sell for lease?
Yeah, there's just a lot of people who have one particular idea of what they want to do, and we just weren't ready to do that, I think.
Yeah, and it was just nice meeting, you know.
Until, you know, these guys came around.
Yeah, it's just with anything, it has to feel right, and it's got to make sense on both ends. And, you know, from the day we met, we really enjoyed hanging out, so.
South by Southwest is always an interesting experience. Now, was this your first one, or was it not?
This was our second one as Caveman, and we've done about five others with our other bands. So it always feels like home going back over there, and I think we're used to the fast pace and a lot of people just from living in New York City. Like, you're coming from tour where it's, like, coming from smaller towns, and it's nice and calm, and, you know, and then you go to that, and it kind of feels like you're home for a minute. Yeah.
Well, you're going to be back here for a big festival for Outside Lands, and that's you know, it's one of those things where everybody's like, Coachella, but Outside Lands is now, like, it's year four, and to be added to that roster is kind of pretty cool, is it not?
Yeah, it feels amazing. Yeah, a lot of a few of our friends are playing, which are great.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great to hang out in what a town.
We were out here for one of the other summer festivals one time, and we were just kind of passing through town. So it'll be nice to now be in town and actually be able to experience the whole thing.
So let's talk about this East 3rd Street thing that you guys have. This place that guitars are crafted and that records are listened to. You know, I kind of see it as your own little mini Andy Warhol's factory to a certain extent, in a weird, funky, East Village-y, you know, sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely just about setting a vibe, and I opened up the shop at the same time as the band started. I've been working at shops in New York City since I was 18, in vintage shops, and so it just felt kind of natural to kind of the next step was to open up my own little shop, and I was fixing guitars and building guitars before that, and then so I opened up my own shop, and it was on 3rd Street, but then I just moved it down to Orchard between Broom and Grand.
Oh my gosh, could you be any trendier?
I love the neighborhood. I've lived there my whole life, grew up in New York City, so it's just really nice to have, you know, a shop there where, you know, just all of our friends can hang out, and we can fix their instruments, and on build guitars, and I'm making all my own pickups now, and just making one guitar at a time, which is really fun, you know.
And have a lot of other bands kind of now come after you and said, you know, we like what you've done for Caveman, make them for us?
Well, it's been great, yeah. It's all been, everyone, you know, Caveman has helped promote the guitars, and just by traveling. And
Nick from French Kicks was involved, correct? So tell me a little bit about that.
Jimmy and I met Nick when on Jimmy's 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Shanae Bar, and we just kind of became friends since then, and he and I, in my old band, I played drums, and he played drums when he first started the French Kicks. So we were always talking about that stuff, and then started playing him some songs that I was writing, and eventually he just wanted to help record. He had a studio, and we always kind of liked the same type of stuff, so it worked out great. And now he's just the man, you know.
Yeah.
We make sure we do everything with him.
So that's great. When you have that type of relationship and you have an agreement about the kind of sound you're going for, but what was it about his ability to help you produce and mix and all of that that really attracted you? Was there a kind of a common ground from moment one, other than being friends from the days of, you know, Shanae?
Yeah, I think also he was, you know, he brings like a really confident attitude and vibe to like just experimenting with sounds and everything, and just was like ready to try out exactly what we wanted to and be in there as much time as it took,
yeah,
and everything.
Be open for everything.
Yeah. So when
we've always looked up to him too. He's always just been a great musician, just like with playing shows with him, and it was always nice, you know he's been doing it, you know, this is older than us, so we've always just looked up to him, and it's great just having his presence there and having his ear, you know.
Super, yeah, talented dude.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing, which I think is really kind of fun, there was a band recently I talked to that went literally to Las Vegas for 2 weeks to play the show and play their album live to practice because they were so nervous about doing it. But this record was kind of focus grouped live through friends, right, who played it in bars and played it at other bands' gigs and all of that. So did you really kind of, did you hang and get reaction, or did you hear reaction? And if so, did it affect anything in any way, shape, or form? Or was the record just done and that's just kind of how it started to get out there in the New York, you know, scene first?
I think that we got into the idea of like hearing it in bars because you could hear it in like the different settings. That, you know, just different settings where you're actually going to hear the record. And so I think that did help to be able to hear that. Most of the time, we tried to, if we were there, we tried to listen to it when the bar was closed, you know. But but there were times you'd walk in and one of our friends would be playing it. But, yeah, I think that helped out just so you could hear it in a different space. And I think what we got from that is just being able to hear it more and more and hear different things that maybe weren't in the recording but you might be able to imagine.
Yeah, just take our time with the recording process and the mixing, and just really listen to everything, and yeah, felt really natural to it.
You do identify in a big, big way with being a, quote, real New York band. How does that kind of find its way into making you less of a, and I'm going to read you a quote in a second, but, you know, less of a buzz band and more of a real New York band in the style of the New York bands that we all love, whether it's a Velvet Underground or a Blondie or a, you know, you could go on and on, because these were New York bands.
I mean, I think it's mainly, stay focused, have a vibe, really set a vibe, and grow up there.
Yeah.
It's like, just really focus on just what makes the city special and kind of bounce off that. And
there's always someone doing the, like, something, you know, who's gonna, if you're not working hard, they're gonna work hard and get the show or get whatever you want to do, so you got to keep working hard. So I think that's what you learn from New York.
Yeah, you always got to move,
be on your toes.
Okay, so when you get a quote early on that says Caveman is ideally poised for success in 2012, and Time Out writes something like that, you know, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? And what the heck does it mean?
I mean, you can't really think too far into those. I mean, people are also saying that the world is going to end in 2012, so I guess...
Wait, it's not?
It's a race.
I think that... Any bit of press just makes it possible for you to make a second record.
I think there's, at the end of the day, we're still a new band, so it was, you kind of have to go through a process of meeting new people, and if that's called having buzz or
just
people are, you gotta just play the music and kind of push through all of that and whatever that means. And
prove to people, you're not just a buzz band. Yeah. Like, play the show. Like, if people are coming out to see us because they've just heard about us, that's great, because then we have an opportunity to
let them.
Yeah, and then they'll see us, and then if they like us, they'll stay.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and songs by other artists in between.